Welcome to the Everything Is Earned podcast. My name is Mike.
And I'm your host, Tim.
Your host? You're switching up, huh?
That's what we're doing.
You're going to host this one? I'm going to be co-host?
Yeah,
Timmy's going to host this one.
He's
the one that's going to roll with it.
We are both your hosts. There is no co involved. We're both the alpha males.
We're both the alpha males.
Well, welcome to the Alpha Male podcast. I'm alpha male number one, Tim, and here's my co-host, my alpha.
Your alpha host?
My alpha host, Mike.
Okay, so we're the Everything Is Earned podcast. We're from Everything Cleveland. We're going to break down everything happening in your Cleveland sports world, as we always do. And today's actually a good day because it's going to be a victory Monday. The Browns finally get a win. They snap a losing streak of, was it, four games now?
Four games.
So we're back on the winning streak. They're back on the winning streak. One game is
one
a
game.
Streak.
Woo!
Yeah. Counts. And it's Steelers week, too. We got the Steelers happening on Thursday night.
Always a fun week when we play Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I hate Pittsburgh.
I hate Pittsburgh.
To me, hold on. I hate Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Anyways, we established we're not big fans of Pittsburgh. So breaking down this Bills game real quick here, I thought it was great that you went out and got the win.
It's always great to get the win.
That's what matters. At the end of the day, whether you win by 100 points or you win by 5 points or 1 point, you got the win. And that's what the Browns haven't been able to do over the last 4 weeks. Is close out and get the win.
All season.
So it was nice to see them get the score, drive down. I thought they were going to lose it when they had that fumble. That was not a fumble. It was an incomplete pass.
Yeah, it was a forward lateral pass. A little flick to Kareem Hunt.
And that was scary.
That was almost like, all right, so this is perfectly describes the Browns pretty well from the last 20 seasons. But
that was rough. But then it didn't happen. And then we went down and scored. And then we got a stop. I was worried about the stop. I honestly didn't know we were going to stop. And I was like, oh, crap.
Well, they drove down pretty easily in the first probably 4 or 5 plays. They probably picked up 30, 35 yards or so easily.
Third down conversion when they picked up 21 yards, I was like, oh, son of a mother.
That was one of those backbiters. You're like, ooh, this doesn't look good.
Yeah, I was worried about it at that point.
Then we had some starting cornerbacks that made some plays. Denzel Ward had a pass deflection, one of his two, on that drive. And he kind of showcased or was starting to find some rhythm and kind of go back to the Denzel Ward we know he's capable of being when he's healthy.
Yeah, I like that. I thought he had a pretty good game. He had a couple moments. We had the DPI early on in the game.
Yeah, he tripped up. That was almost like because of he had such great defense and the ball was thrown behind him that he kind of just fell on top of him because the wide receiver did a good job of stopping and trying to retract the ball.
Yeah, so that's
kind of... That was kind of his bad luck, a little bit.
Yeah, more or less on that one. I kind of agree with you on that one.
But I love that his physical play, he's handsy, but he's kind of like a veteran. He knows when to be physical and get away with it and when not to.
Yeah, I like that piece of Ward's game. I think that really translates well in the pro game because when it comes down to it, you're always trying to do those little things that you can't really qualify as a foul, but they're annoying enough to create an incompletion.
Oh, it's a foul enough to create like a titty tacky foul.
Yeah, and it's like it's kind of borderlining, you know.
Yeah. So if it's called, then basically fans on both sides hate it. I mean, the fans on one side always liked it, but if it would be on their side, they would hate it if it happened to them. So I'd rather just be no calls.
But Ward's not known for like pass interference or like a lot of like holding calls.
No, like I said,
he does
it's
a great
valley,
job getting away with it.
Very strategic.
Yeah, it's great.
He does a great job hiding it.
Yeah, he's a big playmaker. I like Ward a lot. So one of the things I really stuck out of me this game is Baker's up and down play. He
all season, you mean?
Yeah. Okay, but this game too. He had a really nice opening drive. I liked that they went to OBJ early, try to get the deep ball happening. I thought they definitely made an effort to target him.
That was the first play. We did a play action, which I've been calling for 10 weeks now. And it helped out the linemen because the defense thought we were running. And it made sense that the defense buys the play fake because we have an awesome running back, Nick Chubb, who has almost 900 yards on the season. You put yourself in a one-on-one with OBJ.
I love that.
I've been doing that all season.
You should run a lot more play action.
I think that was the longest pass that Baker Mayfield is on. It could be. OBJ, I think, threw a longer one. Was it in Seattle, maybe?
Yeah, he threw a pretty good one in Seattle.
I think that might have been the farthest one Baker has thrown all season.
I liked it. One of the things I think maybe attributed or maybe, like, helped Baker in this game was the surprise scratch of Antonio Callaway for Higgins.
Shaka, you talked about this past week how you like Callaway more, and then I talked about how Higgins is a better receiver, and then you flip out the two, and all of a sudden, when Higgins has fewer snaps, he's able to be more effective and score the game-winning touchdown.
I thought Higgins had a great game, and good for him going out there and playing. I thought it was interesting that the Browns scratched him late. I don't know if it was a game plan thing and like all along, or they were like trying to have them prepare for Callaway, and then Higgins came out.
He was a healthy inactive, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it's weird to you have Callaway inactive instead of one of your like end of the roster special teams guys.
Well, we had Hodge, D.O. Hodge, instead of him, too. He was active.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why he was inactive. Maybe he just wanted to force opportunities.
Maybe
to...
he booked some kind of team more.
Who knows? It'll probably come out later in the week, yeah. Or maybe it'll never come out. Yeah, who knows? Who the hell knows? So love what Higgins was able to do. I think him coming back in the offense is huge. I think that he made key plays in big time moments. Thought that made all the difference when it came down to winning and losing the game. A big factor in today's win was Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt played his first game for the Browns officially, and he was very effective. And he was very effective late when it counted. I love that you had a second option. To kind of set the defense off balance and to give them a different look and to add another person to go in there and block after Chubb has gone through a run, so you didn't have to put Hilliard in there to be run blocking. So it gave Chubb some rest to offset the reps, but it still let you have an elite back in there, which is really great to have when you want to make the defense work harder.
Well, they did kind of what we thought they would do. They kind of did the two set back. And he put Hunt and Chubb in there. When Chubb got the ball, Hunt was blocking. He made some big blocks for Chubb that opened up a few 20-yard gains. But then he did they did the same thing with Chubb when Hunt was running. He only had four carries, but Chubb was blocking for him, and that kind of throws off the defense on what to expect and what they did. But he was also effective in the passing game. He had 7 catches, and I think he had 74 all-purpose yards total in the game. When you bring out an explosive playmaker like that and add him to offense, I think what he brings, I think that might be why you had Callaway inactive. You don't need, you're not desperate for that big play athlete anymore because you have it in your backfield. You have another one in your backfield.
Yeah,
so I think what they swapped out Antonio Callaway, who's a little bit less reliable than Higgins, and just flip-flopped him with someone who's more reliable and can catch more balls in a one-on-one situation.
They played more traditional football today, for sure. It was more run-heavy with the passes, the short pass game thrown in. I really enjoyed it. And we called this out on Friday, saying look for Kareem Hunt to have a big game and to be effective in the passing game. And 7 catches out of the backfield is definitely effective. It definitely keeps the defense off balance, and it adds another element to your offense. And then going forward, on this short week for the Steelers week, they're going to have to account for that. Now you have to figure out how the heck are we going to stop Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, because they can both pretty much do the same things. They're both elite runners, and they can both catch the ball out of the backfield. I think Hunt's probably a better receiver out of the backfield.
Yeah.
But they're both playmakers, explosive playmakers. Yeah.
Elite-level athletes.
Chubb grabbed had some runs and carried people today. It was like, oh my goodness. It seems like when you hit him, he just gets like a second burst of speed, and he's like, I'm not going down today. Like, you're going to have to try a lot harder than that. Like, he just doesn't – you're not going to hit him with an arm – like an arm tackle, or like he's going to bowl you over if you try to arm tackle him.
Nick Chubb is an elite level running back in this league, and there's nothing really missing from this game. I mean, he's not flashy. That's the only thing missing is he's not flashy.
He goes about his business,
He just goes about his business, and he does what he does well. And he doesn't say much about it.
No, and he doesn't have the big celebrations.
He has
in the
no ego either.
So you don't see it on the highlight reels. You don't see it on NFL.com or anything like that. You're not seeing Nick Chubb plaster all over the place. If this was like Alvin Kamara or like one of the other big time backs in the league, or like Saquon Barkley, all those guys, you hear all about how wonderful Nick Chubb is. But he doesn't do any of that flashy stuff. He doesn't say any of the flashy stuff. He goes in, puts his hard hat on, like a Clevelander, and then goes to work and makes it happen. 900 and some yards in the first...
919. Just touchdowns.
In 11 games. No, not 11 games. 10 games. Oh my gosh. Let me say that one time. So he has 919 yards
rushing
in 10 games. That's impressive. He's only off from his last year total...
In 9 games.
9 games. Jeez, Tim.
Yeah, he has 7 more games left to play. So if you factor that in, he's probably going to end up with something like 1,600, 1,500
yards. It's a big-time season.
Rushing.
It's a big boy season.
I'm assuming he has about 200 or 300 catching as well. Even though it's not his main staple that he does.
Yeah. All right. So one of the things that we didn't like about today's game, and I think everyone else kind of felt that, was the red zone production. Or lack thereof of production. Yeah. Not great. We're the first team in 26 years to run 6 plays in the red zone.
8?
And not score. It was 7, actually. But it's 6 or more. And, like, teams haven't done that in 26 years. If you run that many plays, you're scoring.
It's a field goal
or a touchdown.
I think yours is inside the 2. 6 plays inside the 1. Okay. Inside the 1 without scoring a touchdown.
Inside the 2, you're right.
Inside the 2. Oh, look at that.
Since our statistician tonight.
Yeah.
Which is reverse. I'm pretty stat heavy. I know my stats normally. Okay. I'm off like a game or a yard or 10 yards tonight. I shouldn't be playing the chain game. Don't let me measure the spot. Not tonight.
Not. You do not want Mike as your official. That's for sure.
On the plus side of things, I did like that they threw the ball to Odell on that early possession.
All the time.
When they drew the flag in the red zone. I thought that was excellent.
He had 2. He had 2 in the red zone, didn't he?
He was going to make that catch, too. He curled around the defender, had his hand open, and the guy dragged him down. He was going to make that catch.
Yeah, he forced 2 DPIs on Odell and Dana, on Dodavius White.
He definitely dropped some balls he should have caught, though.
Yeah, I mean, he had 12 targets. He had, 5 catches for 54 yards?
Yeah, it's so...
57 yards.
But you got him involved, and he actually made some good catches on third down. I gotta go back and look and see what catches he made on third. But he had a couple third down conversions that were really important, I think. Really enjoyed that aspect of his game today. It seemed like they could rely on him in those big moments, and that really helped out.
I saw some earlier. Outside, tonight was only the 4th time this season that Odell Beckham Jr. had double-digit targets in a game. I think it's really interesting. Out of those 4 times... 3 of those games, we either won or should have won. The only one that we didn't win was against the New York Jets. And I think tonight was the most targets he's had all season in 12.
Yeah, so the Jets game, obviously he had a big game there. He had a pretty good game versus the Titans.
The Titans, that was the one that we were out of it. But it was Titans, Jets, I believe...
Rams?
Seattle. And then the Rams was, I think, 1 shy.
9.
And then, tonight against Buffalo.
So, you're saying...
So, they're saying throwing the ball or looking for your best players should result in a better chance to win.
I like that idea. Like that. Get your best players the ball. Or try to get your best players the ball.
I think we talked about that before.
What do you think about the defense today?
I thought it was kind of underwhelming, like they have been most of the season. They've had flashes of really good possessions or drives, and then other times you're like, all right, so do I have any faith that they're going to stop this team at the end of the game?
I was worried.
I was worried, too.
I was legit worried.
I said they drove down 35 yards, pretty much no problem, and then some of our starting corners gave him some fits, and then... Miles got to the quarterback when he needed to. Not in garbage time, which he has done a lot.
Yeah,
this season.
He showed up in real time. Yeah. in the reality, he showed up when the Browns needed him to perform, and that was good to see that. And it reminded me a little bit of how he played at the end of Pittsburgh last year when you needed him to show up. He came in some big plays. One of the things I thought was a bright spot on the defense well was Mack Wilson. That guy's an animal. I like the way he plays. He plays aggressive. He plays fast. He seems like he's got all the intangibles of a quality linebacker, and that's what the Browns have been missing, because you know I'm not a big Joe Schobert fan.
Oh, no, I know you're not. Speaking of Joe Schobert, he did make that big play on, I think it was a 3rd and 3 in the first half to make it a 4th down.
How many first downs do you have to give up in order to... How many times do I have to say this 4-2-5
defensive scheme that they're in does not fit this personnel? It just doesn't do it.
You don't have linebackers, buddy.
It just doesn't do it.
You have a linebacker and his name is not Joe Schobert.
We need another elite defensive lineman to the pass rush, to the quarterback, and then we need healthy secondary to have all year. And yeah, we need a faster linebacker. A more experienced linebacker.
Yeah, veteran linebacker.
Mack Wilson, I agree with you. You hit on every base that I was going to talk about. He has all the intangibles. He has all the athleticism you want. If you were watching the game, he smacked Josh Allen on the sideline pretty good. I thought they were going to give him a little unnecessary roughness or whatever. But they let go. Yes, that's what I want. And he kind of got up smiling about it. It's pretty funny. But I think he has it. He has, like, the it factor. Oh, not the it factor. He had, like I said, intangibles, but he just needs to just keep on working on his craft and keep on getting better and just figure out the pro game.
I'll take Ryan Kerrigan from the Redskins.
He's a lot of people.
Next year.
Isn't he slow, too?
He's slower, but he's not...
Slower than Schobert?
He's a great linebacker.
Okay. I can say the same thing about Joe Schobert.
Joe Schobert...
I said, if he's in a 3-4 or 4-3... You'd like him.
If you hide
you'd
him,
like him,
he's not a bad player.
You almost want him as an edge rusher, too.
No, I don't want him. I don't want
Joe
Schobert.
Put on 20 pounds, Joe.
Okay, but if you put him on the line, then maybe I'll like him more.
I mean, we got rid of Janelle Avery. Vernon's not healthy right now. Chad Thomas is sad, but he tweaked something during the game.
You're going to do it next year. Do it next year.
You mean he can't put on 20 pounds from now until Thursday?
I don't know. You got to talk to some wrestlers. You got to make weight.
I mean, I think they know how to lose weight. I don't know if they know how to get up to weight.
I'm sure they can get up. You got to talk to some wrestlers. You can figure it out.
I mean, garbage bad, the saunas. I get that, but
yeah, we'll figure it out.
I don't think they know how to gain 20 pounds in a week.
How do you feel about... Ask
Freddie Kitchens.
How do you feel about Freddie Kitchens this week?
I think I have a bias against him since I've had 9 weeks of film on him, both interview and in game. I think there's a few plays like that one timeout, which I didn't. I was in the third quarter, at the end of third quarter.
Last 5 seconds of the third quarter.
Third quarter. That wasn't Sean. I wasn't sure if he was trying to make it so he didn't flip the field to change. Depending on the wind, which way the wind was going, or if he wasn't sure about his defense, but because of what it looked like is the Buffalo Bills are just trying to catch the Browns play off the offsides, and
I don't think that's what it was. I thought they were trying
That happens.
I don't think they're trying to draw them offsides. I think they were trying to run a play quickly, and they watched the film from the New England game where the Browns' defense messed up, and they had the mismatch of 3-on-2. And when they put Singletary out wide, it screwed the Browns' defense up, and Randall didn't know where he was, Schobert didn't know where he was, and I think it was actually showed some nice growth because instead of letting the play out and having to challenge it after they make the first down and it's a close spot, he's like, I'm going to use a timeout anyways here if it gets close. So timeout, set the defense, give yourself the best opportunity to get the stop and a big play like that, and then go out and get a stop, and they did.
I was actually just thinking of that. Because when they lined up on the it was a 4th down a few times, I was like, all right, so they have everyone matched up. I was like, okay, that's good. So you're playing man coverage, and there's enough defenders guarding the wide receivers. All right, that's a good thing. And it just brought me back to that Patriots game.
Yeah.
But another thing is they did the five wide in the in the not the red zone, the goal in the it, but also it brings me back to is when they were whatever in goal inside the 10. The first play or the first time in the first half, they did a five wide and they did a quarterback draw. They did it in the same thing in the second and in the second half, and Freddie and the rest of the coaching staff learned from it. And they still played man covered, but they were anticipating that draw play. He tried to scramble on the right side, and that's I think when Matt Wilson kind of hit him. I think.
No, yeah, that's smart because they did get that. It was a design run play to Allen, and
in the first half,
and that was bad because no one was spying on Allen. It was like, should definitely spy someone on him.
Yeah, but so he did learn from it in the second half there. So that was nice to see. I do think. Like I said, I have a bias against him just in the first 9 weeks, but I think if that was his first game and you don't have any other record of Freddy Kitchens, I think from a coaching standpoint, you can't be too mad. Besides, is it still his play calling that is the matter, the difference, or is what's wrong with the Browns in the red zone?
Well, it was limited penalties today. No turnovers.
No turnovers.
Those are two big things that we've been complaining about for weeks now.
Although Baker could have two... interceptions.
You could have had a couple of them, yeah.
One, he underthrew OBJ by 5 yards, and he threw it to the hands of the Buffalo secondary.
They ran to each other.
And there was one more. There was definitely two that he could have had. I can't recall.
Yeah, but sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you get lucky.
Well, Baker, I think, there was some crazy stat last year. It was some factor... I think it's all wide receiver deflections.
Yeah,
it was last year. I think it came in this year too because we've had several this year. I think we had marked out 4 or 5 in the first 6 weeks or 7 weeks of football.
No, I think it's 7 or 8 actually. They're off receiver hands
this year.
Yeah, they're 10 okay. passes. I mean, not that they're good balls. Like I think 5, 4 or 5 were Baker's fault, but I think 7 or 8. Were
but he was leading by far last year at his rookie year with. Interceptions off like his receiver's hands. It was like a crazy number.
Because he throws a dart. So he likes to throw darts.
Yeah, he puts some heat on.
He puts some pop on the ball, as they say.
But so I just want to see Freddy actually make improvements. Like I said, I'm just tired of hearing it. I mentioned on Friday how I just want to see it happen. I think
we got the win though,
I
man.
I think 2 weeks in a row without any turnovers and under what 6 or 7 penalties. I think he had 5 today. That's good to see. When you do that, when you have less than 6 or 7 penalties in a game, you put yourself in a good chance to win. And when you win the turnover differential, I think it is 0-0 today. But you also give yourself a chance late game situation. To win those games.
Yeah, heck yeah, man. And I think you, when it comes down to it, you want to make small improvements from week to week. And if you can continue to do that, you give yourself a chance to make this playoff run. And, you know, Myles Garrett said he doesn't see why we can't be 10-6. So we only got 7 more games to win.
Yep. Only 7 games.
7 more to go.
But we'll take it week by week.
Week by week. As we go. The next 4 matchups are interesting, though, because you have the Steelers.
You have garbage teams, yeah, so you should win.
You have the Steelers, Dolphins, Steelers, and Bengals. So you should definitely take care of business on those 4 wins and make them 4 wins.
You should at least make 3 of the 4
and keep
QB
the
wins.
Ball rolling. If you beat Buffalo, who's 6-2, you definitely need to beat the teams
all
that have lesser
teams.
Records.
Yes. Should be able to beat the Steelers, who have a backup quarterback.
I just don't believe
the Dolphins
that the Browns...
are trying to be the worst team in football, and the Bengals, who are just a
mess. They're a mess.
They've been a mess for the last 10 years. Yeah,
but they just look worse now because AJ Green's been out. But here's the thing: you have these 4 games to take care of, and I think the Browns are a better team than they've let on. I think the roster is one of the more talented rosters in the league.
Well, we know that part.
It's just a matter of putting it home now, and you can build off this win and win on Thursday night. That'd be huge.
Also, in these last 7 games here, we're going to see, were the Browns as bad as they were in the first half of the season because that's this Browns team that they are, or were they... that bad because they played some phenomenal teams in the first half. And did we judge Freddy Kitchens too early?
On other news not related to the Browns, because I think we about wrapped everything up for the Browns yep. now, right? Yep. The Cavs are busy taking to the Knicks because they're terrible. They're up 37-22. That's and right. Positive coaching, teamwork, balanced scoring.
When you have, I think, what is, John Beilein is going to be a really good coach, you make use of your talent. And when you're supposed to beat good bad teams, you beat bad teams. And speaking of bad teams, we beat and we handled the Wizards, was on Friday?
Mm-hmm.
They did exactly what they were supposed to do. We talked about on Friday how they were supposed to win. We talked about how Darius Garland should have had his way, which he did. He had 15 points and 5 assists, I think, in the first half. 13 or 11 points in the first half and 5 assists in the first half. Kevin Love played well. So Tristan Thompson, he dominated the young big man. And then we're just doing the same thing to the Nets.
Yeah, I think when it comes down, you have to win these games. And these are nice building games because you can start to feel the wins and you keep that positive momentum going. And I think it's worthwhile. Turn the Cavs on. When the Cavs are on, turn them on. You're going to see some fun basketball and you're going to learn about how these new guys are developing.
You're going to learn basketball too. I think John Beilein does a good job of teaching, I think, his young players.
Playing quality play. Ball.
And if we're gonna, I want to talk about a few players specifically. I want to talk about Kevin Porter Jr., who had a career night on Friday against the Wizards. I want to talk about Darius Garland a little bit more. Kevin Love, I think those are three people that I want to talk about most.
Circle them, man. Circle those guys when we turn the Cavs on, because those are the most interesting guys you want to watch.
Yeah, and Jetty. But I want to start with Darius Garland, who, it was an interesting matchup because he played his former coach, his former AAU coach, Bradley Beal. And he talked about how that was a fun matchup to play, and he seemed locked in. And I watched him on defense, and he acted like he played him before. He acted like he knew how to play his game, and I think he played the best game in terms of offensively that he has since he got drafted.
Yeah, he looked really sharp. I mean, his 6 assists were not just like, oh, I happened to pass to you when you were open.
Yeah, it's won the ball. Like, and
no, his assists were that nice dunk to end the half to Thompson. That was sweet.
He
carved up the defense and then tossed that oop to Thompson, who came flying down the lane.
Well, if anyone was watching the game, you were like, what are you doing? Like, there's only 7 seconds left, and you just crossed half court. Like, you had 15, 16 seconds left, and like, you're barely at half court. And then all of a sudden, he turned it up. He did a little stutter at 3-point line. And then, like, acted like he was about to shoot it. He had a big man close out on him. And then he just burst to the lane. And Tristan Thompson, we all know, dived super hard. And he just blooped it up. And right before the half, it was beautiful.
Aggressive.
When he gets assists, he gets point guard assists. He gets playmaker, floor general type assists.
Yeah, he's dishing out some dimes out there. He's dropping dimes at Kevin Love.
Then on to Nets, Tristan Thompson has been extremely confident on the offensive floor.
He's having himself a career year. He's making that bid to be an all-star. I think he's really trying to be an all-star this year, and he's trying to get paid in the offseason. I don't know if the Cavs will retain him, but he's trying to get paid.
Yeah, depending if he keeps on the sustained play that he has so far this season, attract a larger contract than Cavs. We'll be able to pay him. So that's something.
I like what he's doing so far, though. It's great for this team and our building going forward. I don't know, you know, where he fits going forward, but I love what he's doing right now. I love how the Cavs are developing, especially with Tristan and Love leading the way with the young guys.
I think, like I mentioned on Friday, if you can work out a deal where you front load the contract and it both fits his goals money wise. And the Cavs, then I think it would be worthwhile.
You should call up Kobe Altman, Tim. You should call up your close personal friend, Kobe Altman. You should get him on the horn with Kobe. Let him know your awesome idea. Let him have him take a look at the financials. You know, sit down with Dan. Make sure you see if it works, and then meet with the whole team with Nance and Nance's father and Nance's agent, and you guys just have a little sit down. You guys go to a fancy restaurant. You head down to Red Steakhouse. And then you just chop it up and let them know what you think about this contract.
You said the name Dan Dober, and immediately my brain went to, did he have a change of like mentality of heart? After being hospitalized this summer, and is that why he re-signed Kobe Altman? Like, is he a different person now?
He's maybe giving more of the reins to Kobe, which is fine. You know, and when you go through a major change in your life, you make adjustments. So, you know, if that's the adjustment that he made, I'm glad for him. Happy for him. Happy for Kobe making his money. And I think you need to reach out to your close personal friend and help him
and then
figure out what the Cavs can do with these contracts.
Okay. And then lastly, Kevin Love. Kevin Love has been the Kevin Love that I thought he was going to be. He's been Minnesota Kev so far. He's been locked in, he's been focused, he looks mentally healthier than he has been, than I've seen him in Cleveland. And I think he's prepared, I think he's got himself ready to be this, to be the leader for this young test squad.
Hold on, you said Kev looks mentally prepared. Are you his psychiatrist now too? Tim not only is close personal friends with Kobe Altman, he's also doing Kevin Love's one-on-one therapist sessions.
Timmy
looks mentally healthy, is what Timmy said. He can see inside Kevin Love's brain and lets you know exactly where he's feeling and what he's got going on.
Yo, dude. You aren't on his medical staff, which he does
TAP stance. I don't get his medical reports that you get.
Well, I just
I guess if you're part of the Cavs organization like Timmy is now, and who's been deeply embedded to that front office, then you would get these reports. I don't.
You obviously aren't the Cavs access member that I am.
Tim is the alpha male with all the records and all the access.
I am your alpha host. Yes, that's me.
Tim is the alpha host, and we do appreciate what you bring to the table and all this wonderful insight that you can't find anywhere else, because I don't know anyone else who's close to personal friends with the Cavs front office. But we have one right here on the show, and I hope you guys continue to listen and check in with us just so you can get Timmy's insight on how the Cavs should build going forward with all this insider information. We're not colluding. We're not tampering. We're just telling it like it is.
I'm just here so I don't get fined. No, what I meant was he looks mentally ready, and if you listen to any interviews, that's what Alicia said. If you listen to any interviews, he sounds like he's ready for the task.
I like it.
Both physically and mentally. Like, you talked about it. How he had the awesome
he had Eat, Pray, Kevin Love
meditation. Yeah. Eat, Pray, Kevin Love.
Yeah, it was a wonderful summer.
But the Cavs are gonna be fun. Another little tidbit about Kevin Love is if you look, he does all little intangible, like the little tiny things that just don't show up on the stat sheet. One of the things we saw against the Wizards on Friday was his ability to rebound. And then use his body and then make a play for his teammates. And he grabbed he sealed one guy. He got up. The ball went a different side of the rim off the shot. And then he bounced off of him. He bounced up against a contesting rebounder, got it against him. Like sealed him off in midair, and then had the awareness to look down court and like find like Colin Sexton or like Kevin Porter. I think it was Jetty. For like an easy layup or something.
If you like some basketball, you need to watch Kevin Love rebound, because he's a fun guy to watch rebound.
He's a fun guy.
I know that sounds crazy that it's like fun to watch rebounds, but you gotta watch this way he plays basketball and the way he recognizes like where the ball's going and how to position himself. And when the ball is like a 50-50 ball, Kevin Love's always getting it. If the ball's tipped in the air and Kevin's there and another guy's there, Kevin's gonna get that ball. Like, full faith that he's going to do that. He's an amazing defensive rebounder.
In one instance, to kind of put some more insight on this, is if you, on Friday, you had Larry Nance grab a ball against the Wizards. It's a defensive rebound. And for whatever reason, he was just exposing the ball on a rebound. And I think Thomas Bryant, the young center, just kind of grabbed his hands on the ball, and he's kind of just let him tie it up and have a jump ball. And one of the things, little tiny things with rebounding with Kevin Love, is when he gets a rebound, he's never allowing a defender to either steal the ball or tie it up for a jump ball. He always finds a way to get away from the defender while rebounding it, while allowing himself. I think he had turnover on outlet pass, but most of the time he's a very skilled outlet passer, and John Beeline uses him. Uses that talent of his to get the Cavs
to push the offense,
and to utilize his strength for the for other people.
The Cavs don't want to be a half.
Colin Sexton is a fast player.
They don't want to be a.
They want to down and run.
They don't want to be a half court team. They want to be a. They want to be a push the pace guy kind of team.
But that about wraps it up. We don't watch the second half of this Cavs game here.
Yeah, we are. And
we will be back on Wednesday.
I'm your alpha host, Mike.
And I'm your second alpha host, Tim.
And this is the Everything Is Earned podcast. And remember, in Cleveland, everything is earned.